Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Trying to get our guests back on. I had a blackout here.
Shannon, are you with me?
There you go, my brother Eric. Stand by 1 second. I'll explain to you all what happened.
We lost you somewhere. Okay.
Brother Joseph, welcome back. I got brother Eric back. Folks, we're just getting started, and I had a complete blackout and lost all power. Thank God. Okay. It was only for about a minute. It all came back on, but it was enough to knock me offline. I'm sorry, but we need to go back to the beginning. What can we do? Start over. Don't worry, we'll do a full hour. Brother Eric, I'm sorry about that, and Brother Joseph, but these things happen in the third world. Folks, welcome back to the program. I guess the enemy's not happy with us being on air tonight because he tried to knock us off air, but we're back. Brother Eric, I'm going to turn it back to you. Brother Joseph, we got you back? Not hearing anything there. You may be muted, Brother Joseph. Check and see. Sound check.
I can hear you now, Brother Shannon. Praise
okay,
the Lord.
There you are. You were just muted. Great. No worries. Okay, Brother Eric, okay. I'm sorry. Back over to you, my friend.
Well, I'm going to assume here that we just start right back at the beginning here. And the message tonight is, I've entitled it, One Body. By some accounts, there are 2.2 billion Christians in the world, and 1.1 billion of them are Catholics. And then there are other religions that name the name of God, and then there are other religions. But the question is, what does the Bible say about being a Christian? You know, how would we describe ourselves as Christians, and what does it mean to be a Christian? And many people would quote Jesus and say, narrow is the way, and few find it. And there are many more that would quote Jesus saying, do unto others what you'd have them do to you. But I don't think many people associate the two as having been said by Jesus at the same time. Let's go to Matthew 7, and we'll read verses 12 through 14, and I usually am reading from the American Standard Version. Verse 12 says, all things therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, even so do you to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, and few are they that find it. Now, there are two parts of this. One is, do to others what you want them to do to you, and it's a narrow path to find the path that God has for us. But we also know that God, our Savior, would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is a quote from 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. 1 Timothy 2, 3 says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants every person to be saved and wants every person to come to the truth. Now, I've intentionally skipped past the first couple of verses of this chapter because this section is often used for prayer about leaders. And I want us to get a little bit past the traditional religious thinking about this verse. You know, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 says, "I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all that are in high place, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity." Now, I don't know about you, but this is a pretty tall order. You know, we might be willing to pray for all men, but can we really give thanksgiving for them? But what is Paul saying here? I think what he's saying is, rather than tweak their nose and shower them with all the reasons we don't like what they're doing, we are instead to, as much as we can, be at peace with them. Now, he goes on to say in 1 Timothy 2:8, "I desire, therefore, that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and disputing." Now, this really brings me to my main text, and it's Colossians 3, verse 15, and that says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be thankful." But before we read the context around this, you know, what is it that separates the church, the one body of Christ, into denominations of many different beliefs? You know, there are Catholic and Baptist and Methodist and Episcopalian and Assemblies of God, and you know, the list goes on, right? When in Titus 3:9 he says, "Shun foolish questionings and genealogies and strifes and fightings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Now, and yet when we look at the church, what do we see? We see separation and fragmentation. And let me just say here, I'm not talking about pulling everybody together and one world religion, and you know, that's really not what I'm about here. My focus, though, is on the one body, the body of Christ. Now, the context around Colossians 3:15 begins with verse 10. He says, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, we see something that looks like do to others what you'd have them do to you. You know, we want God to forgive us, and that means we also need to forgive others. But I want to look a little more in detail at verse 14 here. This word, if we look at this word, charity here, you know, in the King James Concordance, it's translated 84 times as love and 28 times as charity. It's the word that many would recognize as agape, which Strong's describes as a love feast, affection, dear love. But there's another phrase here that I want to emphasize, and that is the one at the end of the verse, the bond of perfectness. And this word perfectness here from Strong says completeness, but Thayer gives a better definition. It talks about the state of the more intelligent or the moral and spiritual perfection. Now, we are to put on a new man, and that new man lives in a higher state. a higher level of moral and spiritual perfection. And that's the place that we as individual members of the body of Christ need to come to. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and it's from Jesus himself. You know, he had 12 disciples, and our purpose here isn't to describe all of the disciples and everything about them, but there were fishermen among them, a tax collector among them, and one who was a thief that had betrayed him. Yet, in that last night that they had together, they all sat down for a meal together, and he faced them all at the most difficult time in his life, knowing that he soon would be offered. Now, I share that to make this point. We need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Now, Jesus might have had many different reactions to the people that were in the room. But he shared the meal with them, and then at the end he broke bread with them, which is what we'll do at the end of the call here. But what is it that caused him to have that kind of peace and the ability to sit in a room where he knew there was one who was about to betray him? I want to go back here for a minute to the Old Testament and look at how God began to bring peace to Israel. And this is really my first main point. God said in the Old Testament, "I will meet with you and commune with you." Now, this comes from Exodus chapter 25 and verse 17 through 22. And verse 17 of Exodus 25 says, and this is from the King James Version, "You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half, the length thereof." Now, I'm going to skip kind of through this, but "you shall make 2 cherubims of gold," in verse 19, "make one at one end and another at the other. And the mercy seat, you'll make the cherubims on either end, and the cherubims will just stretch forth their wings." In verse 21, "You'll put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark you'll put the testimony that I'll give you." In verse 22, "There I will meet with you, and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat." Now, this is the way God wanted to meet with them. You know, if we go back to the garden, God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. You know, God has always wanted this relationship with us and to commune with us. And people have many different ideas about who God is. And I'm going to go here for a minute to Psalms 85. And verses 7 through 13 say, "Show us your loving kindness, O Jehovah, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God Jehovah will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near them that fear him, that your glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs out of the earth, and righteousness has looked down from heaven. Yea, Jehovah will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him and make his footsteps a way to walk in." Now, this really is one of my favorites. And you know, there are many places in the Bible that are just great places to quote. But here he talks about mercy and truth, and he talks about righteousness and peace. If you think about this, you know, when the truth is spoken, sometimes we find ourselves in the wrong. And we may find that there's a bad consequence to our action. And when we talk about righteousness, there is with that a call for judgment and a call for justice, and sometimes a call for restitution to make things right. But where we meet with God, mercy meets truth, and peace meets righteousness. Now, this is the key phrase here that we need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. You know, we need to know that God has forgiven us, and we are to forgive those who are around us. We sometimes bring the injustice of the world, the offenses committed against us, the consequences we face for our own actions to the very throne of God. And he says in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, having a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that has been at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us draw near with boldness to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, God is there for us, and he wants us to be with him in his presence. But let me go on to another main point here. There is one body being built together for a habitation of God. And we are the light of the world. You know, we're what the world sees about who God is. Now, we're living in a different age than what we just read about. We're in New Testament times. We're living in the age of grace. We live in the time where through Christ we have access by one Spirit to the Father. And it's by his Spirit that we're sealed for the day of redemption. And it's that Spirit where the peace of God comes and rules in our hearts. Now, we know how the world works. There are some people that we know and we call friends, and there are some that we know and call acquaintances, and some that we may know through business. And then there are those that we don't want to know at all. You know, there are some who have a very different lifestyle, and we might think of those that are bound up with drugs and alcohol, but also there are those that by their religious beliefs and even in the name of God seek to destroy us, and because we don't accept their law, their way of believing. But God has created a plan, and it's a plan to build a place that he can inhabit. And that plan is summarized in Ephesians 2, 16 through 22. It says that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together and grows to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, this is what God wants to do in the earth. When we talk about the body of Christ, in this age, it's the church. And we're the ones the world is looking at. Now, I know in that verse we just read that the writer is talking about the Jews who had been given the commandments, the law, and the Gentiles who were outside of God's plan for Israel. And I know that in the Old Testament times, people from any nation could have emigrated to Israel to become partakers in God's blessing for Israel. You know, God always included an admonition for them to care for the stranger in the land. But let's not get hung up on that here. Let's I'm going to ask you to take my assertion that God's desire is to reconcile the world and everyone in it to himself. And this is the main reason for the church to exist. It's a place for God's very presence to be made manifest. Just as God inhabited the temple in the Old Testament, today God's desire is to inhabit the gathering of his people. Now, there's a verse in Psalm 22, verse 3, that I've often heard quoted as God inhabits the praises of his people. Now, it reads in the American Standard Version, but you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. I came across an article, and it suggests that a more accurate translation is from the NIV, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. Now, whether God inhabits our praises or not, certainly God is on the throne, and He is the Holy One. And this article also, though, quotes James L. Mays, and he says, "Having God as my God rests first of all on belonging to a community for whom the center of all reality is the Holy One, who is enthroned as King in the heavenly and earthly temple, and whose acts of salvation are the content of Israel's hymns and praise." You know, there is a community. The Bible calls it one body, the body of Christ, that God has on the earth. And it's that place where God is glorified. Now, I belabor this point because we modern Christians often think primarily about our own personal relationship with God. And it is right that we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and that we are individually accountable for our personal walk with God. However, I want you in this message to connect with the whole body of Christ. As Mays says, a community for whom the center of all reality is the Holy One, who is enthroned as King. Now, we are to be built together for a habitation of God. And the sad truth is the church in many ways is fragmented. Now, this brings me to my final point. And that is that we are one body with many members. Now, you may have noticed that when you're together with a few friends, it's easy to have a meaningful conversation because there's time for you to listen. And there's also time for each person to interject their own comments. But what happens when the number of people in the room grows to a dozen or so? Well, you know, the conversation tends to fragment. Pretty soon you have three or four people in one place talking about one thing and three or four people in another place talking about something else. And the conversation fragments into smaller groups talking together, and it becomes harder to flow together on one topic. Now, what happens when the group grows larger, say 50 or so? Well, it's difficult to maintain order unless you have a moderator, and it's impossible if the group isn't willing to allow moderation. Now, you know, there have been some things in the news lately about some social action groups who, by intent, have taken to going to meetings and disrupting those meetings for the very purpose of preventing that group from taking any action. And, you know, this is most people have a social grace and a willingness to allow order of a meeting to go on and for people to work through an agenda and try to make some progress. But these groups are purposely trying to disrupt things. Now, this word disrupt has come up a couple of times here, but it's important that we understand that we, first of all, for us to take our place in the body, we need to let the peace of God rule in our own hearts. And part of us doing that is, I'm going to go to Romans 12, verse 4 and 5 here. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You know, in Christ, we all have a place. In Christ, we all have value. In Christ, it's okay for us to let someone else be the moderator, because fighting with one another would be like stomping on your own toes. We are one body in Christ. And let's take a minute and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is a long section here, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. And I'm not going to read all of it here, but let me just introduce verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. It's not one body, for the body is not one member, but many. Now, if we think that everybody's going to be like us and think like us and operate like us, you know, we need to think again. There are particular gifts in the body, and you know, the message tonight is not to go through apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers, and gifts of administration and hospitality, and you know, all of those things are important in the body of Christ. But the purpose here is for us to think about what does it take for us to work together to accomplish God's plan and purpose together as His one body in the earth. And it begins with recognizing our place, having peace ourselves in our own hearts, and recognizing our place in the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to jump ahead here and going to jump to verse 25. And verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or where one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, there is a relationship. And, you know, we sometimes we see somebody who's prospering particularly, and it's easy for us to get a little jealous about that and say, well, why not me? And we might see somebody who is really gifted in music. And, you know, the best I'm able to do is make a joyful noise. You know how it is, right? I can enjoy the music that they're singing, and I can participate with them as they're worshiping the Lord, and I can get benefit and value from that. You know, it's a good thing to let them fulfill what God's made them to be. And that's not the area that I'm particularly gifted in. But each one of us has a place. Each one of us has a gift. Now, you know, he goes on in verse 29, says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show to you a more excellent way. Now, we know what this more excellent way is. It's love. Now, we read earlier in Colossians 3, verse 14, that above all these things, we should put on charity, which we defined, you know, this last phrase, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the way for us to live above. It's the way for us to excel in what God has for us. And for us to come into the place that God has for us to be in the church, it requires for us to put on the new man and to set aside the things, the disputes that we might have against others, the way that we think things maybe need to be done or should have been done, or maybe the way things didn't get done. You know, sometimes we have good intentions and things just we fall short. And so even when we've decided the best thing that should happen, there are times when it doesn't happen that way. And it's important for us, though, to put on charity and the bond of perfectness. Now, we're coming close to the end here, and before we finish, there's one other way that the Bible describes the church, and that is as one bread. And this is found in 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. It's this covenant of life in Christ that we celebrate through communion. It's this one body that God desires as a spiritual habitation. Now, we can experience that spiritual habitation individually, and many of us do. You know, there's a great movie, The War Room, I think is the name, a great praying woman who had her prayer closet, and God answered her prayers, and miracles happened. And, you know, that is a great kind of Christian life for us to live and to be as an example to the world. But there's also a place for us to come together as a body of believers, and as a body of believers to love each other and to encourage each other and to forgive each other and to experience worship and praise in God's presence. And when that happens and the gifts of the Spirit are moving and, you know, God does things in people's lives and the bonds are broken and people come to Christ and they receive forgiveness of their sin and they're set free from the captivity that they've been in. And this happens when, you know, we join together as a body of believers and we give God time to move. And, you know, we sometimes have our tight agenda and our tight timing for services, and you know, it's good for us to know what's coming next, but it's important for us to sometimes take a minute and let God be God and let Him do His work between us without our disputing. Now, the highest level for me, the place that I want to see the church move, is for the body of Christ, all of us, not by our denomination, not by our missionary works, but for us to come together as believers in Christ, for us to come together and love each other and accept each other and well, somehow to exemplify this view, one body in Christ, in love, as we read at the beginning, in this bond of perfectness where nothing can separate us, not from each other, not from Christ, that the peace of God rules in our hearts. You know, here's the conclusion. That's our main text, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you also are called in one body, and be thankful. You know, this is what God wants from us. He said in the Old Testament, I'll meet with you and I'll commune with you. And what was it for? It was for their good. He said in the New Testament, there's one body being built together for a habitation of God. You know, God's on His throne. He has a place of habitation. He doesn't have to be here. He wants to be here. He wants to be among us. He wants to be here for the world to see. But it's one body with many members. And we get caught up sometimes in all of the diversity that we have around us. But, you know, I was walking out of a conference center one day with my wife, and I asked the Lord just as I was walking. It was a sunny day, you know, a beautiful day. Lord, how do you see us? And as I was walking out of the conference center, there was a flower bed all around it. And they had planted tulips of all different colors. And, you know, there were yellow ones and red ones, and each of them in their own little place. And that's what God spoke to my heart, that's the way he sees us. You know, we, each one, beautiful in its place. Each one fulfilling what he's created it to do. Now, God reached out to us and made a way for us to connect with him. It's for our good. He's called us to himself. And it's our action that will let the peace of God rule in our hearts. You know, he's told us to put these things on. And we can read in Colossians 3, and it's a pattern for us to follow. But no matter what we see happening around us, God is on the throne. Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and we have a future and a hope in him. So why do we get hung up with this little dispute or that little dispute? You know, this is the place for us to examine ourselves. And I know that this is a time for us to take communion. And that's an essential part for me of taking communion. And so I'm going to ask you here as I close to take a minute and think about what's going on in your life. And maybe your relationship was right with God. Is there anyone in your life that you have any division with? Is there anyone that you haven't been able to connect with? Take a minute and ask God to show you how to connect with them. Ask God to show you the love that he has for them. Ask God to show you how to be thankful for them. You know, there may be something about their life that you just don't get yet. But God's able to show you, through his eyes, their value as a human being and as his potential son or daughter. Now, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this moment. And Lord, we thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your light. Lord, you have forgiven us. You have made the way for us to come boldly into your throne. And you're right here with us. You hear every word that we're saying. Lord, you, by your Spirit, are moving in people's hearts and minds right now. Lord, I thank you for the things that you're revealing to us, the things that you're asking us to go and take care of. That, Lord, we can not be divided, fragmented, separated from those who also love you, but that we can be bound together with the bond of perfectness in Jesus' name. Now, Joe, I'm going to turn it back over to you here. And
Amen. Well, Brother Eric, praise the Lord. Outstanding message for the body of Christ. And we know who the adversary is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil does anything he can to bring division, to bring unforgiveness, and to have people operate in the flesh instead of in the spirit. Because when they're walking in the spirit, they'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we need to understand that denominations are man-made, but a relationship is what the Lord wants us to have. And as you well know, Eric, that the first followers of Jesus were not called Christians. They were called the Way. And I would gather, I don't know for sure, but Jesus said, I am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. And at Antioch, men named the followers Christians. The Lord didn't do it. Man, Jesus didn't say, man did it. So basically, what are we? We're followers of Christ. You know, when they ask me what church do I go to, I say the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's all brings division, and it's not from God. But because of the interruption we had earlier, Eric, Brother Shannon, I believe, did say that we can go a little bit later. So we got just a little bit more time. Before we take communion, why don't you...
We can go to...
There might be a new listener today. There might be a new listener today, somebody that just turned on the program accidentally, but in God's sight, there's nothing by accident. He orchestrates everything, or there might be some people that would listen to the archives and come across your teaching. Why don't you just tell people about salvation, Eric, and about being born again, and just have a prayer.
You know, there are really two kinds of people in the world. Those who have come to a knowledge of who God is, and those who haven't. And if you've been listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, or maybe you don't even know what that means, you know, God wants and has been working to reveal himself for who he is throughout generations. And you may turn on the television or turn on the radio and hear a program that talks about God or talks about Jesus Christ. And, you know, you get a little bit of an understanding. But here's the deal. The world is in a fallen state. It's not the way God created it to be. The way God created it to be, the lion lays down with the lamb. The adder, the poisonous snake, can play with the little child. You know, that's the world that God created. Sin came into the world, and it's tainted not only the world, but every human being. And, you know, what God created as self-preserving desires in our body, need to have food, need to have rest, need to procreate, you know, all of those natural things, God did put in us, and he put them in us, but we had a relationship with him, a spiritual connection with him that was the head over our bodies. And when sin entered in, we lost that connection with God. And that means we're run amok. You know, you probably understand how addiction works. You maybe have seen it worked in somebody's life if it hasn't worked in your own. And there seems to be, even though we sometimes recognize we need to stop doing something, there seems to be this driving impulse to do it. And it's the effect of sin. Now, God sent Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. This is the story at this time of the year, you know, that Jesus was born in a manger, born to Mary, a virgin. And God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and he went around doing good and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And through him, light entered into the world. And Jesus came for a reason. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about animal sacrifice. When sin is committed, there is a payment that's required. And Jesus came in the world. In the Old Testament, it was an animal sacrifice that was given to try to pay the price for the sin in people's lives. But that sacrifice never could fulfill the requirement. The required payment was death. And Jesus Christ came and gave his life on the cross. He died on the cross, a sinless man, died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, that we could be forgiven by God. And God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his own right hand to be the head, the firstborn, it says, of many brothers and sisters. And it comes down to this one question. Will we believe what God said, that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sin? Will we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? It's the message is well broadcast, and if you need someone to help you understand it, well, we're here to help you do that. But the one thing that you need to do is to ask God to help you. And I've heard so many times when somebody says that simple prayer, Lord, help me. Lord, show me the truth. Lord, direct me in the right way, that God can respond to that. You know, if you've got it all figured out, you don't have any place for God in your life. But if you're asking, Lord, I need help here. Lord, I hear this message about Jesus Christ, about him paying the price for my sin that I could be forgiven. And and you say, I'm willing to accept Christ and ask God to show me in my life the way of righteousness and holiness, then just ask him. I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. And it's not that it's these words that matter. It's what's in your heart that matters. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, go ahead, Joe.
No, go on, Bill. Go on.
Okay. If you prayed with me, I want to seal this with a short prayer. Father, I thank you for these that have accepted Christ today. And Lord, I ask you to lead them by your Holy Spirit to a local church where they know you, where they love you, and where they love people, where they can learn more about you and your plan for their life, in Jesus' name. Now, if I could take just another minute here, you know, as I was preparing the message, I was talking to my wife, and she said something to me that I want to come back to. She said there may be some people listening here who have been offended, who, you know, things that happened in the church hurt them. The church didn't operate the way they thought the church should operate. And maybe the church didn't operate the way God wants it to operate. You know, there are some things that have happened in people's lives that really should not have happened. But this is what God's all about, reconciling us and bringing us back into his presence. And if you find yourself in that place where, you know, you don't have a church home, you don't want to have any part of what church is because of what's happened in your life, then I'm going to ask you here to just ask God to forgive those people and to open your heart. I'm going to ask you to open your heart to receive from God his very best for your life. You know, God doesn't want any of us to be alone, to be left out, to feel isolated. That's what the devil wants to do. You know, if you watch in the natural world, isn't that what predators do? They find people and cut them off. They find a pack and they cut off the weak. They cut off one and then attack that one. But that's not how God operates. God is here to forgive you. So I'm going to ask you to just pray with me here. Father, I come to you and I ask you to forgive those in my life who have offended me. And Lord, I ask you, if my attitude's been wrong, to forgive me. And Lord, I ask you to show me the way forward. Lord, I know that you are a God of love and a God of mercy, and that you want goodness in my life. Lord, show me the way by your Spirit. I receive you tonight, Holy Spirit. Have your way in my life, in Jesus' name. if you've prayed with me here, I'm going to ask you if you would just to we have a little website, prayny.org, and it's a place where you can just put in your name, your email address, phone number if you want to. None of that has to be public. You can be anonymous. Connect with us and let us know that God has touched your life tonight.
Amen. Brother Shannon?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the show tonight. We're live with Pastor Joseph Cohen and Minister Eric Ross. And we're going to invite you to take some communion with us. We take communion every week on this program. And Brother Joseph, what is communion all about?
Well, basically, Eric spoke a little bit about it, about the communion, the blood and the body of Christ, bringing us into unity of one, one with the Father. And when he says in the scripture, in 1 Corinthians 11, do this in remembrance of me. Well, we're supposed to remember Jesus every day. In my thinking, we need to take communion at home as much as possible in remembrance of him. And God moves mightily with signs, wonders, and miracles. Body, soul, and spirit. God has done tremendous amount of work in the hearts and the lives of people who have honored this sacrament, which in my thinking, the devil has hid the importance of communion to the leadership in the body of Christ. Some churches take it once a week, which is good. Some churches take it once a month, which is not so good. And some churches take it once a year. And some churches don't even take it. And 'cause the enemy knows the power that's in communion. And a tradition, you know, the church is so bound up with tradition. They don't even realize it. The people that the believers, even you know, Brother Shannon, Brother Eric, it's just like they don't study the Bible or understand. I mean, they think it's just like what happened when you see on the lawn of people with you know, decorations and stuff. They'll have the wise men, you know, being at the stable, seeing Jesus in the manger, which is, it's fabricated. It's not true. It was the shepherds that were there, and the wise men came, you know, 2 years later. That's why Herod said, kill all the babies, male babies, 2 years old and under, because he wanted to kill Jesus, because the wise men went to worship the Lord, you know, and got him a little mad because he was the king, not Jesus. So you have things like that. You have, I don't know if you've heard it, but I've heard people say Paul was knocked off his horse when the Lord saved them. He wasn't knocked off his horse. He was on the ground and he was walking and he was slain in the spirit. So there's a lot of things that are there, and we think that a communion is only to be served in church by the pastor or elders. Well, it's not scriptural. So, you know, you're a believer, you take it home, and you could just thank God for the blood and the body of Christ. So that's what we do here. What we do is when we drink the blood of Christ, we say "Hail to my King" three times, in honor of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then once we say "Hail to our King," Eric was talking about, the body of Christ collectively, we take communion, and we honor the Lord by doing this, just like dignitaries. When there's a dignitary that is honored, they raise up the cup and they salute the dignitary. So that's what we do here. Brother Shannon?
Praise God. Let's start. We're going to read from Luke 22. It says, "And Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you." Brother Joseph?
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to eat bread from the earth. Father God, we thank you for your broken body, Lord God. Father God, that you tell us in your word, Father God, that in Psalm 103, that you forgive our sins and heal us of all our diseases, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that you tell us in the New Testament, Lord God, Father God, you say that you wish us to prosper and to be in good health, just as our soul prospers, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that as we take communion, we can believe you for signs, wonders, and miracles, Father. We can believe you, God, that your body was broken for us on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven and that we could have healing, Father God, in our bodies, Lord God. So right now, Father God, as we break forth the body of Christ, we give thanks unto you and your sacrifice, and we thank you, Father, and we're believing by faith for miracles in our lives as we eat your broken body, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake with the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam borei pri hagafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to drink the fruit of the vine. Hail to my King Jesus.
Hail to my King Jesus.
Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to our King Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for salvation. We thank you, Father, for your blood. There's power in your blood, healing in your blood, deliverance in your blood, faith in your blood, hope in your blood, peace in your blood, joy in your blood, love in your blood, mercy in your blood, great grace in your blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. Father, as we partake with your blood, you've given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. No weapon of sickness formed against us shall prosper. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll raise up a standard against them. As we partake with communion, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command every muscle, every nerve, every cell, every organ, every bone in our bodies to be whole, to be healed. Line up with the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Folks, if you're coming in late tonight, we'll have this up in the archive in a bit. Message entitled One Body by Minister Eric Ross. Brother Joseph, would you like to give out your contact information as well?
Sure. You want to look at my website. Have a lot of nice things on the website. It's newhopeinthelord.com. If you want to get a couple of letters that I wrote on communion and taking communion and miracles that happen and people's lives who've taken communion on a regular basis, you could email me, Brother Joe, at newhopeinthelord.com. And if you feel the Holy Spirit touching you to support our ministry financially, you could send a love offering. You'll be blessed for it, and we appreciate it. And you could just send that by PayPal. It's the same thing, Brother Joe at newhopeinthelord.com.
Brother Eric, one more time, give out your contact information again, please.
I want to mention 1 Corinthians 10:16. What we just did, it calls the cup of blessing. And God is with us. God loves us. And he has good things ahead for us through Jesus Christ, his Son. It's prayny.org. And it's a great place for you to add a prayer request. You can add your contact information as you'd like to, and we'd be very happy to hear from you.
Fantastic. Brother Eric, thank you for joining us tonight. Brother Joseph, as always, it's a pleasure, my brother. And thank you all for coming on, and happy new year to both of you.
And you too, Brother Shannon. God bless.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thanks, sir. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Folks, we're going to save this program and we'll be right back, so stand by.
Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.